Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Just like Ben said, it's a challenge to come in here and try and turn around.
Just like we've been saying all springtime, it can get ugly at times, but that's part of the learning experience for really all three phases right now. Excited about where we're headed, though.
See you in the Super Bowl.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Go Bears!
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into the WGN Radio Football Podcast, episode 99. I'm Kevin Powell, joined by Nicholas Moriano. Follow him on Twitter at Nicholas Moriano, M-O-R-E-A-N-O. Nicholas, I appreciate you jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. A lot of Bears topics to talk about there, Kevin.
Yeah, we'll start with Caleb, who finally addressed reporters at Hallis Hall a couple weeks after that report came out, a little excerpt from the book. Really detailing some of the pre-draft thoughts from Caleb and his father. And I'll get your thoughts and then I'll give mine. But I thought Caleb did a good job of just addressing it. You can tell he was a little anxious to just get it over with. Mm-hmm. Not personally. I didn't think there was anything all that bad in what came out. But we can get into that too. But you were there. What sort of sense did you get from Caleb? Was it just kind of relief to talk about it a little bit? Because I thought he was prepared. I mean, he started with a 3 or 4 minute opening statement and really crossed off the list of all of the topics he knew he was going to be asked about. But what did you make of Caleb's press conference this week?
You know what? Honestly, Kevin, I thought he's had some tough times where he had to talk to me, like in the losing streak even last year. So I think it was just reminiscent of what he had already done before. Like, he was prepared for some tough questions that he knew he was going to get asked, but I think it was smart for him to have that opening statement to kind of get off what he needed to get off his chest. And you mentioned like the thoughts that he had, like that's what Caleb also wanted to make sure people knew, is that these were just thoughts that he had prior to joining the Bears before the draft. And I think when he said it's fair for him to have those thoughts, I completely agreed with him. Single reservation he had about the Chicago Bears organization and the lack of development at the quarterback position, we kind of saw things play out that in his rookie season. I mean, being sacked 68 times, getting your head coach fired, your offensive coordinator fired, and this is the environment that you're in. So I think it was fair to have those thoughts. And, you know, even the bits and pieces about Minnesota, it's like, what quarterback's not going to be impressed by Kevin O'Connell, right? Mm-hmm. He said he won Coach of the Year.
Right.
So it makes sense for me just being there, listening to him. It seemed like an honest conversation he was trying to have with us when he was answering some of these questions. And, you know, any longer, it just would have kept the non-story story would have just kept becoming a story. But, you know, it comes out second week of OTAs where he addresses it. So I think that was the right time for him to, one, have a prepared statement and then kind of silence any of the questions that were still persisting at that time.
Yeah, and it was definitely newsworthy and obviously a big-time talking point over the past couple of weeks, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It was sort of interesting, mm-hmm. because it was, you know, behind closed doors, a look at behind the scenes of a pre-draft process for a Heisman winner and a guy who's going to be selected number one overall. And I also do think that when you read the headlines or you read what came out, when you read it, it definitely looks like it could be worse than it is. But when you talk about it and you think about it, and Caleb tried to do it his best yesterday at this week at Hallis Hall, sort of expressing himself in how they were feeling and at least checking all the boxes before he did come to Chicago, I didn't think it was any sort of issue. It's definitely a talking point because it's interesting. We got a different mm-hmm. look at how the top quarterback in the draft class was approaching the draft. And it was interesting. And I don't think it was bad. He called it a distraction, so it became a distraction. But I think overall, to me, I didn't think there was any sort of like controversy or anything involved in it.
No, because ultimately, I mean, Those a lot of those thoughts were said before the draft, and obviously there was a part highlighted about the film watching and what that process was like. But still, in that excerpt that was released from Seth Wickersham, it's like, he obviously didn't want to come to the Bears after meeting
right.
with Ryan Poles in the visit, right? And he said that, too, in his opening statement. A part that kind of gets overlooked is the fact that, you know, he still felt good about the decision of wanting to be a part of the Bears organization. And that's what ultimately counts now. And, look, several of his teammates, coaches, were asked, you know, about this story. And they, you know, they basically said that, you know, they couldn't tell, right? They couldn't tell that, you know, this was something that was actually a bigger story than it was. Case Keenum was asked about it. Like, you wouldn't know any different. The same thing as Montez Sweat. So I think it was, like you said, if you just read the headlines of some of the things, you're like, oh, that doesn't look that great. But then you kind of dive into it a little bit more, and then you hear what Caleb had to say. And, you know, it's just not as bad as it seems. And look, Caleb Williams is the Chicago Bears quarterback, and that's all that really matters at the end.
Yeah, right. And he said the right things. I want to be in Chicago. After he met with the Bears, he wanted to be the guy to help turn things around and become really the first franchise quarterback they've ever had. And that was one other, you know, point I had, too, was that, okay, after reading that and then seeing how Caleb approached last season, It that kind of sort of validated that it really was a non-issue, and it shouldn't be a distraction, because Caleb was all in, and I thought he handled last season pretty well. It was a tough season for Caleb, and when that came out, and he wants to meet with the Vikings and did meet with the Vikings and all of that, once he did get drafted by the Bears, he was all in on the Bears.
Absolutely. I mean, look, even how something as simple as this, Kevin, like how Caleb Williams ends every one of his press conferences, his little signature phrase, "Dub Bears." Like, I mean, he doesn't have to do that, right? But I think it also just shows, again, the commitment that he has to his franchise. Like, he wants to be that first 4,000-yard passer. He wants to change the narrative here in Chicago about quarterbacks. And you know, he has a head coach in Ben Johnson that looks at that as also, like, he embraces that ineptitude at the position. Well, these two can potentially be the guys that break that history that has been at the Bears quarterback spot. So, yeah, when you look at everything that he has done, he's doing right now, like, you can tell that Caleb, he is committed, and there shouldn't be any more you know, reservations about whether or not he is committed to his franchise, because he's shown with his actions that he is.
So you've been at Halas Hall for OTAs, which continue. To me, it just feels like, and I get it, there's a new head coach and a little more excitement and buzz at Halas Hall, but just sort of seeing the way they're approaching even these OTAs and some of these light practices, it feels like there's a culture shift, culture change at Halas Hall, and it definitely feels like they're bringing a different sort of energy and kind of an edge to these practices. Would you say that's accurate, Nicholas? You've been there.
You know what, Kevin? The word edge, I had that right in my mind as you were kind of, you know, asking this question. There is an edginess to these coaches. It's not just with Ben Johnson, who is not afraid to drop F-bombs. I'll tell you that right now. You throughout the first 2 weeks of OTA, that's been really consistent with him.
You got to go, Nicholas, you got to have an F-bomb tracker going throughout the offseason. I think that would take off if you could track all of Ben Johnson's F-bombs.
I love that. And you know what? I'm already 2 weeks late, so I'm going to have to catch up a little bit here. But yes, like, Ben Johnson F-bombs are going to be thrown around. Eric Bieniemy, like, we've all been in front of Eric Bieniemy when he's coaching up the running backs. Like, that is a guy that is intense. So is Al Harris, Antoine Randall L. So that all of these position groups where you're seeing that same type of coaching style. And that, and what's interesting too is, like, when Ben Johnson said that when he acquired the staff, it's not like he's bringing in friends or guys that he's been acquainted with necessarily. It's guys that, you know, he respected, and they all kind of have the same style to them as they're coaching each one of these position groups. So you feel that. And I think it's important to start that now as early as rookie minicamp OTAs, because as this season progresses, I think it would be weird if all of a sudden that switch turned on for this coaching staff. No, it's established right here, right now. So any of these little details that need to be addressed, be fixed, the huddle issues that have been happening, Ben Johnson's blowing the whistle. He's throwing the F-bomb, and we're going to get on the right track right here, right now.
Yeah, and most of these practices for us reporters who go to Halas Hall, we don't see a bunch. They let us watch practice for about, what, 15 minutes, Nicholas, or so, and much of that is stretching and then some light drills, and then we're asked to leave. Now, we see a little bit more in training camp, and there are some other opportunities, but for the most part, they don't want us around for much of it. So, for you to see that sort of intensity from Ben Johnson and the coaching staff in that small amount of time, imagine what it's like when we're not around, you know? And I will say that, again, it's new, it's fresh, there's excitement around Ben Johnson, new coaching staff. But man, there were some times that Halas Hall felt a little sleepy last year, Nicholas, and I understand the losing streak, didn't help. But even the press conferences, like Ben Johnson is much more engaging, I would say, and he keeps your attention. I don't know. Would you say that's an accurate assessment? I just feel like there were a lot of times where it didn't look like it's looking right now.
Yeah, you know, it felt like, and again, when you go through a 10-game losing streak, and it is what it is for last season, it feels like you're going through the motions, right? Here's another week. It's Wednesday. Here's kind of the schedule for it. Like, that's what it kind of felt like once you kind of kept going through the 2024 season. At this point, like, you know what you're going to get in front in terms of, like, what the coaching staff's going to bring, but it does provide that, I don't know, there's an energy to it. And it should be, though, Kevin. Like, this is a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
And it is a, you know, Ben Johnson being his first year as a head coach. So I feel like if there's any point in time where there's going to be this energy, this intensity, it has to be early on, because there's going to be adversity throughout the season. We got to see how all these coaches, these players, handle that once they go through it, because it's inevitable. It's going to happen at some point in some different way, but there is that energy to it. So when, you know, fans are invited to training camp, you know, later in July, in August, like, I think they're going to also see that too, like what we're feeling in these shorter periods of practice. But you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like from Ben Johnson and the rest of his staff.
Yeah, I like the approach Ben Johnson has had so far. There was some other, you know, talk about some of the coordinators as well, like Dennis Allen, Montez Sweat talked with you guys this week as well. Sweat talked about how last year was a disappointment for him, and he did talk a little bit about Dennis Allen as well. What did you hear from Montez Sweat this week?
Yeah, it was interesting how he described his defensive coordinator. He took 7 seconds before actually answering,
right,
and he said he's a complex individual. And it's like, oh, okay, that's one way to describe somebody. But I think what Montez also highlighted was that it's because of all the different fronts, alignments, schemes, blitzes, that Dennis Allen's not only going to ask for the defense, but in particular, Montez Sweat. So I think that's a good thing, though, Kevin, because when you think about Montez Sweat and the year that he had last year, it obviously wasn't the multiplier that, you know, he's been described as being for a defensive front. And when you look at just not even 2024 season, but even 2023, they lined up Montez Sweat, the Bears, and even when he was with Washington, primarily on the left side of the defense. As an opposing offense, when there's not a lot of time to game plan for each opponent, you have a week, maybe even less, you already know one. You probably have a good idea where Montez Sweat's going to be. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore with Dennis Allen's defense, where he could be lined up against your right tackle. Maybe he's in the interior of the defense. Maybe he's opposite of Dio Dangbo on the right side now. And that's, I think, going to help create better opportunities for Montez Sweat to be the 90 million plus, you know, man that he is for this Bears defense. And he's going to have to be the one that really creates this pass rush. And he has to be consistent with it all year. And it would help if he is healthy, which it seems like at this point he is. But I like the complexity that Dennis Allen can bring to his defense, because I think that helps Montez Sweat become, you know, a better version than he was in 2024.
They need big production for Montez, you know, dealing for him and then giving him that contract. That guy, he has to produce. And hopefully Dennis Allen can unlock something a little bit more out of Montez Sweat. Because I think when you look at the roster, Nicholas, it's there have been improvements, but it's kind of, for me, just like last year, where I see a lot of weapons, I see a lot of talent. The offensive line very much improved. Sir, I'm not entirely just sold on it yet. Defensive line, sort of improved. But I think up front is where, for me, that's where the big question marks are. And then obviously what sort of step can Caleb take in year two? But overall, when you just kind of examine this roster with training camp month and a half, 2 months away, how are you feeling about the 2025 Bears right now?
You know, I think you're feeling a lot better because of the trenches. And there is still some uncertainty there. Like, I just mentioned Dio Dangbo. That's a guy that got paid pretty well for you know, his 4 years in Indianapolis. And there's not a lot of sack production there, so there's a... It's like kind of prove it to this Bears team, but he is being paid pretty well. Grady Jarrett's 32, just turned 32. So there are better players up front. You just got to see how it all meshes, right? Like, you have three new offensive interior players. How is that going to, you know, coincide with this Bears offense? Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, that's going to probably take a little bit, even though you have some veterans up there. But defensively as well, even though Montez Sweat being healthy, you just got to see like how Grady Jarrett also integrates for being on, you know, a new team for the first time in, you know, 10 years, right? He's been in Atlanta, and now this is going to be his first year not with his hometown team. And I think that's just going to be interesting to see. So if they're growing pains in the beginning of the season, I'm not surprised by that at all. You're learning a new offense. You have a bunch of new players up front. It's probably going to take some time, but I do like the quality of talent and what the potential can be.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're a playoff team in 2025? I don't know. We got to wait and see how it all kind of plays out, but they have upgraded the trenches, and that's where the Bears got beat. I mean, just a lot of the games last year, they just couldn't stop the run or run the football.
Yeah. And Billings,
so this year they have the players that can be a little bit better at that.
And good to see Billings kind of out there working out too, because when he went down last year with that injury, it was very noticeable. The production and stopping the run was a big decline once Billings was injured. So, yeah, I mean, still some moving parts on the offensive line. Left tackle, we'll see about Braxton Jones. But, you know, big question marks. And to Dio getting that contract, you know, that's a guy they paid for projecting future production, where Grady Jarrett got paid for past production. That's kind of, it was interesting approach to both of those signings. But we'll see if it all plays out in Dennis Allen's defense. But Nicholas, great stuff as always, man. It was great to talk with you, and I'm sure I'll see you at Halas Hall soon.
Yeah, I can't wait. And Kevin, I'm gonna take that idea. I'm gonna track the F-bombs now as we kind of move forward here.
The Ben Johnson F-bomb tracker. Hey, tell everyone where people can read you, watch your stuff, all that. Plug away, Nicholas.
Yeah, so I'm kind of a little bit everywhere, but it's the big YouTube channel. You can see Herb Howard and I doing our thing. And then, you know, honestly, if you follow me on Twitter at Nicholas Moriano, you're gonna be able to find and read and watch all of my work. So that's gonna be the best place where I share everything. And you do that, you won't miss anything that I do from here on out.
Nicholas Moriano, thank you for joining me. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon.
Thanks again to Nicholas for joining me. Thanks to Ernie Scanton for his help producing the podcast. Thanks to Circa Sports Illinois. And thank you for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.